Tonight I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. One man said, meekness is a grace which Jesus alone inculcated and which no ancient philosopher seems to have understood or recommended. Why would it be that, now this is what this man said, but why would it be that ancient philosophers would not understand, or really from the aspect, why would they not recommend meekness? Why would not meekness be something that they would recommend as a philosophy of life? As we go through our message tonight, I think you will see, hopefully you will see that meekness is something that needs to be laid hold on by faith. Meekness must be accepted by faith in our lives. Many times humanly, our response to a situation is going to be outside the realm of meekness, but we need to submit ourselves to God's rule in our lives and bring our lives under His control and leave the results to Him. We need to step out in faith and follow God. You're in Matthew chapter 5, but I'm going to read a verse and you can think about it in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That phrase, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, one of those words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we would like to consider tonight, we touched on it Wednesday night, is verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You might ask tonight, why is meekness so important? What's the big deal about meekness? How often do you think about meekness? Is it something that enters your thought processes very often? Jesus Christ said, blessed are the meek. First of all, tonight I'd like us to consider the great importance of meekness. Why is meekness so important? I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. There are a number of verses in the Word of God that state the great importance of meekness to the life of every believer. Meekness is not something that you want to go without. Ephesians chapter 4, we find that meekness is necessary for a worthy walk in the life of a believer. It says in verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all what? Lowliness and meekness. Now, do you want to lift up or put down the great calling that you have in Christ? It says here, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. We find in Galatians chapter 6 that it is necessary in the restoration of fallen believers. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We find that this is important for the protection of the one who is seeking to restore this one. It says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Meekness is necessary in the restoration of fallen believers. If it is not there, it may result in the falling of the one who is seeking to restore the other one. So it is, meekness can protect you. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, we find that not only can meekness protect you, but also can protect the one that you are seeking to restore. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and this, I guess, could maybe go beyond just fallen believers here, but it says in verse number 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We find here the great importance of meekness in dealing with other people. Do you want to see people repent? Well, meekness is a necessary ingredient. We find not only is it important in the restoration of fallen believers, here we find not just fallen believers, but even in the salvation of people, we find that it's important for the glory of God in these situations. 1 Peter chapter 3. And this in giving an answer to those that are unsaved. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It says with meekness. It says sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart in your hearts. Be ready to give that answer, but it must be done with what? It must be done with meekness. We find that it is very important because it is necessary in order that you might be the man that God wants you to be. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Meekness is necessary that you might be the kind of man that God wants you to be. It says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. If you're going to be the man that God wants you to be tonight, meekness must be a characteristic of your life. But the last area that I'd like to see of why meekness is such of great importance is found in the book of James and James chapter 1 and verse number 21. James chapter 1 and verse number 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Why is meekness so important? Because meekness is necessary to a proper reception of God's word. Do we understand the importance of meekness in our lives, in our relationships with others, in its ability to allow us to have a worthy walk, one that is worthy of the great vocation wherewith we are called, one that enables us, particularly men, to be the kind of man that God wants us to be, one that enables us to properly receive God's word? Meekness is vitally important to our lives. Secondly, I'd like us to see the great example of meekness. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Meekness is very important, and here in the Word of God we find the great example of meekness. We'd also like to kind of look at what meekness is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." How is this meekness going to become a part of your life? Well, we find here that what's going to have to take place, you're going to have to yoke up with Christ. You're going to have to allow Him to lead you, to teach you, to guide you. You're going to have to go alongside with Him and follow Him so that this meekness, which is so vitally important to our lives, can take place and become a characteristic of our lives. Meekness. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And if you can just kind of keep that in the back of your minds, and will that theme of committing himself to him that judgeth righteously is going to come up again later on in the message. Think of Christ. Matthew 21, verse 5. Let's go over there. You're in Matthew chapter 11, or many of you. Matthew chapter 25. How did Christ come into Jerusalem? It says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Jesus Christ came in, not asserting himself, but came in riding on a humble donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of himself. You know, you think of Haman, this great man that was seeking to make himself great in the kingdom of Ahasuerus. And what did he do? What did he do in, as the king came before him and asked him, what should be done to the man that the king delights to honor? And he said, "Boy, have him ride on." He's thinking of himself. Have him ride on this horse. Have him, be in the king's apparel. I'm probably not getting everything exactly right, but he had all these grand ideas for this man so he could what? Lift up himself. But here in Matthew chapter 21, we have the picture of Christ. He is meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. He's sitting on a donkey, a humble animal. Not riding in on this great horse, seeking to, so to speak, lift up himself, but he came in meekly. He came in lowly fashion. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1 that he was beseeching them by the what? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Jesus Christ is our great example of meekness. We need to learn of him. We need to take his yoke upon us if this is going to be a characteristic of our lives. What is this meekness? I'd like us to look at a couple of Bible passages to help us to get some understanding of what this meekness is. Let's go first of all, to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, and we see the opposite here of meek. Well, verse 19 speaks of the meek. Then we see the opposite of it. It says in verse 19, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Then verse 20, for the terrible one is brought to naught. Okay, so the terrible, the idea of a ruthless one. The terrible one, the ruthless one, shall be brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. A scorner. If you have a King James defined Bible, one who scorns, derides, or mocks, especially one who scoffs at religion. All right, so a scorner, a mocker, the one who mocks righteousness and holy living. The opposite of meekness. That make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. And turn aside the just for a thing of naught or a thing of nothing. In a sense here, turning aside the just for a thing of naught or for a thing of nothing would be, in a sense, would be the pride of one who is not meek. The laying a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. Laying a snare, maybe trying to pervert judgment. One who is not meek, instead of submitting themselves to the judgment of God. So we have a scorner, we have the terrible, we have the ruthless. Those that are, in a sense, really lifting themselves up in pride, seeking to advance their way. But in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, we have the meek described as one who has wrought his judgment. Zephaniah chapter 2. It says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. All right, so here we see the meek. What are they doing? They're carrying out God's judgment. Carrying out his plan. In Psalm 25 and verse 9, it says, how the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek are going to be people who are discerning. God can guide them. Let's go to Psalm chapter 75. In verse number 4, it says, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. All right, so this emblem of glory, strength, and honor. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and setteth up another. Notice verse 5 of the next chapter. It says, the stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. Verse number 9. It says, when God arose, well, maybe I should just continue reading here. Verse 7, then even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah. In these two passages, we find really the opposite of meekness. It's those that are seeking to lift themselves up. But what is God seeking to do? He is coming to, in judgment, to save the meek of the earth. The opposite, it says, verse 5, the stout-hearted are what? Are spoiled. All right, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. Verse number 4 of the previous chapter, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. All right, the meek, the opposite of meek is one who is stiff, one who is seeking to promote themselves. But we find that promotion comes from God. God is the judge. He is going to lift up the meek. He is going to lift up those that have put themselves under His control. The meek is one who is pliable. The meek is one who responds to God. We find the stout-hearted. We find those that have a stiff neck. They are set, so to speak, in their ways. In Psalm chapter 25 and verse 9, Psalm 25 and verse 9, it says, "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." All right, the meek, those that have that humble pliableness that can be guided by God. You know, the proud, the stout-hearted, God's going to bring them down. It's going to happen quickly. You know, in Psalm chapter 73, there was Asaph. He got his eyes off of God. He saw those in the world. It seemed like they were prospering. And he had to get back into the presence of God so he could understand their end. You know, meekness takes faith. It takes faith to submit ourselves to the rule of God. It takes faith to properly respond to situations that seem like they're out of control, and we have to try to do something to get them back into control. We're going to look at that some more later on. So we have this meekness. We have the opposite. We have the pride, the stout-hearted, those that are lifted up. Then we have those that are in submission, those that are humble. The New Testament, there's the idea of gentleness. Beseech thee by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The Webster's dictionary, some of what they have for meekness: softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocations. Then it had, like, in an evangelical sense, humility, resignation, submission to the divine will without murmuring, or peevishness, which I think the idea of is complaining. I had to look that word up myself. Opposed to pride, arrogance, and there's one other word which I'm not actually sure what it even means, but opposed to pride and arrogance. There's a humility. There's a pliableness. You can be directed. You understand that God's way is the best way, and you'll put yourself under His control. When situations arise, instead of reacting to them in a human manner, we put those situations in the Lord's hands. We allow Him to solve those problems. We find that there are some great results when meekness is wrought in our lives. Psalm chapter 25 and verse 9, we see the discernment and the teaching that one will receive from God. The meek will He guide in judgment. There will be discernment. God will guide. There will be the guidance of God. The meek will He teach His way. You know, you need understanding of God's will in your life. You need meekness. Because it is the ones that are meek that God is going to guide. But God's going to resist the proud. In Psalm 100 and verse 149, verse number 4, we see another result of meekness. Psalm 149 and verse number 4. It says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people." It says, "He will beautify the meek with salvation." You know, the meek, those who put themselves under the control of God, you know, at times it's going to look like the wicked are attacking them and the wicked are overruling. The wicked are, in a sense, maybe having the victory, even as maybe it appeared to Asaph. And is it even worth it to live for God? But it says here, the meek, he will beautify the meek with salvation. Sometimes the outcome doesn't look apparent. But God says the meek will be beautified with his salvation. We find that God lifts up the meek in Psalm 147 in verse number 6. It says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground." You know, when you are facing those situations, maybe it's in the workplace, and you're tempted to just handle them in a human fashion and maybe respond incorrectly to what's going on, we need to remember that the Lord lifteth up the meek, those that are willing to follow his plan in those situations. And he casteth the wicked down to the ground. In Isaiah chapter 29, in verse 19, we find that there will be joy for the meek. Their joy will be increased. Isaiah 29, verse 19. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." You know, when we choose to trust God, when we choose to put ourselves under his guidance, under his plan, what's the result? The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord as we see his hand at work, even though when the decision is made, we have no idea how this can humanly work out. We find in Psalm chapter 22 and verse 26 that there will be satisfaction for the meek. Psalm 22 verse 26 says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." Do you want that satisfaction in life? Well, it requires meekness. We find that meekness will result in rest. In the example of our Lord, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. And ye shall" what? "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." In Psalm number 37, it says in verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Notice there, "and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, the psalm begins, it says, after a psalm of David, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. The idea of fretting, to burn up inside. Don't let this anxiety build up inside you that it creates a fire inside you. He has the idea of wrath. This anger, so to speak, is building up. In a sense, maybe you want to lash out. But it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, and sometimes people are doing things and just like, why are they doing this? And in our humans, we want to maybe solve the problem. But the Bible says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We are to respond in meekness. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. We live in a society that says, you know, assert yourself. You know, don't show yourself to who you are. But the Bible says, don't fret because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Commit your way unto Him. He shall bring forth thy righteousness, it says, as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You know, if we put it in our common terms, it might be God's going to make it clear as day. He'll bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. We don't have to try to bring it to path ourselves. God is going to fight for us. It says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. You know, our problem is many times we want these things to happen right away. You know, and maybe an injustice is done to us, and we want that evildoer to be taken care of immediately. Maybe it's something, you know, it can happen on a child's level. You know, somebody takes a toy from them. You know, what are they going to do? They're going to, you know, push them over or take it back or do whatever they can. You know, and then one of them comes running up and says, so-and-so did something to me. And then you find out that they did something to instigate whatever took place. And then, you know, you fast forward that 30, 40 years. And maybe it's not with a little toy that somebody took from us, but it's in some other instance. And the Bible instructs us to respond in meekness. You know, if you've chosen God's pathway in your life, if you've chosen to submit yourself to Him, if you've chosen to respond according to God's Word, you know, as you're reading the Word of God, it is the meek person that God can guide. It is the meek person that God will teach His way. When we have that humble pliableness in our life, just like that horse that can be led, he has that maybe great strength, but it is under control. And really, it's even beyond that, because the Bible talks about how the mule has to be held in with bit and bridle, but how God wants to lead us with His eye. Is there that humility? Is there that meekness in our lives? Have we chosen to entrust our lives completely to Him, no matter what is taking place? It says, fret not thyself. Don't let that anger build up inside of us because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, what can happen is that here's this person and they're, so to speak, maybe they're in the boat of sin. And then we respond incorrectly to what they're doing and then we end up jumping in the boat with them. And now we're wrong as well. And instead, we need to allow the Lord to take control. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, this evening, are you going to choose the way of meekness? No, it's so important. It's important in restoring that lost brother. That one that maybe, I should say lost brother, but the one who has fallen into a fault. You know, we can respond and say, man, what? Why did you do something like that? Didn't you have any more sense than, you know, we can easily sometimes do this like we've got all the sense in the world and they have no sense, you know, and then maybe 2 weeks later, we do the same thing. Considering thyself. Meekness is so important. There's that humility. There's that pliableness. Meekness is so important in our relationship with God. Because without it, God cannot teach us His Word. Meekness is so important in our relationships with others. Because if we do not respond in meekness, we could respond in a sinful way instead of trusting God to take care of the results that are at hand. God wants us to have meekness in our lives. But it will take a step of faith to trust Him for those circumstances. Christ said, blessed are the meek. Does that meekness characterize your life tonight? Even as you read the Word of God, is there that pliable heart that can be easily changed and directed by God? May God instill within each one of us that heart of meekness, that life of meekness that is so important to the life of each individual. Jesus Christ is the great example of meekness. In the Old Testament, there was a great example of meekness, and it was Moses. And when is it brought up that it talks about he was about him being such a meek man? Well, it was in a situation where Aaron and Miriam are accusing Moses. I think they say something like, can't the Lord speak by anyone else? And Moses responded in meekness to that situation. You know what? God took care of it. Miriam ended up with leprosy. What did Moses do? He prayed for her. She was healed. And God restored Aaron and Miriam. You know, do we respond? It takes meekness. You know, we want to respond in our own, maybe out of our own sinful flesh. You know, Moses had so many opportunities in dealing with the children of Israel. You know, there was one time where he didn't respond in meekness, and it cost him being able to enter into the promised land. Meekness is a very important thing. And may we learn from the greatest example of meekness, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't mean that we're going to, just fall over and accept whatever happens in life. No, it means that we're going to follow God's plan. Jesus Christ, when he entered the temple, and things were wrong, he turned over the tables. And he set that place. He let them know that they were not following God's will. You know, meekness is not just that we fall over to whatever's happening around us. No, meekness is about submitting ourselves to God's will and God's plan. And it's about submitting our sinful flesh and bringing it under the control of God so that He can direct it in every situation. So that instead of responding in our own human wrath, so to speak, we can respond in a gentle fashion according to God's plan. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts tonight. And Lord, and we pray that your word would minister to our hearts. And Lord, that even as the next time that the word of God is picked up, Lord, that maybe we would ask ourselves the question, am I responding in meekness to your word? Lord, as we go home tonight and situations confront us, Lord, that we would respond to those situations according to your will. Lord, that our lives would be directed by your hand. And Lord, that when those situations in life arise, that we want to take control ourselves and maybe respond, Lord, in the wrong way that would be displeasing to you. Lord, that you would give us grace that we could exercise meekness. And even though humanly it looks like things won't work out, Lord, that we would rest in you. Lord, I pray tonight that you would challenge our hearts. Lord, we know that meekness is your will for our lives. Lord, we see it's vitally important to the life of every believer. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts tonight and reveal those areas that we have not been allowing the Spirit of God to produce the meekness in our lives that ought to be there. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is God working in your life? You know, there's many different areas. It could be in a relationship, so to speak, type thing. It could be in the Word of God that you've been seeking to go your way, and maybe the reason that you don't seem to be getting much out of God's Word is because you haven't been receiving it with meekness. Maybe tonight it's because if you're going to learn meekness, you've got to yoke up with Christ and you have to allow Him to lead you. You know, that is where the rest for your soul is found, is in Christ. And tonight I wonder, is the Lord working in your heart in this area of meekness? I'm going to say, you know, tonight, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart, and I really want to seek His help in allowing that meekness of Christ to become a part of my life tonight. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord has worked in your heart. All right, you can put those hands down. Is there anyone else tonight? All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for working in our hearts. We just pray that you would continue to minister your word to us. And Lord, you've said your grace is sufficient. And Lord, may we rely upon that grace to see this, to see meekness, Lord, brought out in our lives. Lord, if there's one here tonight that is not saved, Lord, we cannot have the meekness of Christ without having Christ in our lives. Lord, may you work in their heart to that end. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.